In your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. Outlines, ushers, bring them up right away. If you have yours from last week, fine. If you don't, get an outline. Ephesians chapter 4. Same as last week. How are you all this afternoon? Isn't this a beautiful day today? Wow. Absolutely beautiful day. Be sure you have Ephesians 4 in your Bibles. We want to just read. And it does not hurt. Line on line, precept on precept. And some of this repetition is very, very good. It's wonderful. I go to sleep at night and then I wake up. What do you do when you wake up at night? And so I search in my mind for some scripture. And I just start going right down through some scripture. Some of it I've never memorized before. But once you go over it and over it, it should come to mind and should be of great encouragement and help to you. Ephesians 4, let's begin with verse 17 again. Context is very, very important. Anytime we study God's Word, teach God's Word, we don't want to just pick a little out and pick a little piece out here and there and put it all together. We want it in its context. Verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not." What does it mean, walk not? What is your walk? It's your life. It's the way you live. It's your lifestyle. It's the way you do things. It's the way you think, the way you act. "That you henceforth walk not." Don't behave like the Gentiles, the pagans. We're the Gentiles. They're the pagans. Non-Jews, but the idea is they're pagans. They don't know God. They're illiterate. They're illiterate. They don't know God. They don't know His Word, all right? These are Gentiles. Like they walk in the emptiness, the vanity of their mind. Without God, your life is empty. God, right? Okay, we go on. "Having the understanding darkened," without God, there's no light. "Being alienated from the life of God." This we get in being born again through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. "Being past feeling," they're calloused. They have calluses all over their spirits. They're insensitive. "Giving themselves over to lasciviousness," really sensuality, "to work all uncleanness with greediness. You've not so learned Christ, if so be you heard Him, and you've been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Put off concerning the former way of life," your former conversation. Your talk is the expression of your mind. Your conversation is the expression of your heart. It's what you do, is how you live. "Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts of deceit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore," because of this, if you're going to put off the old, you're going to be renewed in your spirit of your mind, you're going to put on the new man, then certain things are going to change in practical issues of life. Number one has to do with the truth. All right, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. We're members one of another. We're part of each other. We are joined in a common life, and what we do affects everybody in our family. And this is the family of God. We're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Literally, be being angry and stop sinning. "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." Put a time limit on your anger. Control your anger. Don't let your anger control you. "Neither give place to the devil." Don't let your circumstances become a playground for the devil. "Let him that stole steal no more." The word stole. Anybody heard about kleptomania? I have a joke once in a while. You know what happens when I walk by a French bakery? And it has some of these beautiful, luscious pastries. And I walk in the French, in this French bakery. You know what happens? You know what happens? Those pastries, you're not going to believe this, but those pastries reach out and grab me. Hey, that's never happened to you? How'd you get on that? Let him who stole kleptomania. That's where I'm going with that. Let him who stole is kleptes. It's, we get the word kleptomania. You're proud, reaching out and grabbing things. Well, the kleptes in that case was the pastry. Anyway, let him who stole steal no longer. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is what? Good. And why in the world should he do this? Well, what's the purpose of working? Now, you all know that the purpose of working is getting money and putting in the bank and taking vacations and having nice things. That is the purpose of work, right? Wow, well, this is a new idea here. Working with his hands, the thing which is good, in order that, for the reason, for this purpose, that he may have to do what? To give. Wow, that's interesting. That he may have to give to him that needeth. Boy, that's something, isn't it? That's a new way to live, right? Why do we work hard? For what we can get or for what we can give? I do wish, and I'll pause here for just a moment. It is not selfish, and it is not poor stewardship of life to make a lot of money. If you can make $50 an hour for your work, you ought not to give your life away for $10 an hour. That's poor stewardship. Because it gives you more to give. You can't give what you don't have. You just can't give what you don't have. If we had a billionaire in our church and we could build ourselves an apartment building and we could put a staff together in San Francisco and evangelize this place like you wouldn't believe. That's not making money a god, that's making money a servant. Work in order that you might have to do what? Give to him that's in need. Some people are proud that they don't make any money. Come on. That's poor stewardship of life. You make as much as you can. You can't make more than you can. Some have capacity for more than others. Okay? Some people, everything they touch turns green. And that's okay if they touch it so that they can give it. I would like a church full of millionaires. I really would. The money doesn't do anything except it increases your capacity to give it away and do things, yeah? And it won't do anything if you don't give it away. Am I right? See, this is before I get to the verse. But this is interesting. Let him labor with his hands, working that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth, okay? So that's an interesting concept in the text for today. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. This is our language. This is our speech. This is our communication, what we say and how we say it. But that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one by whom, whereby, you are sealed. You are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So in verse 25, we are to choose the truth. In verses 26 and 27, we are to put this murderous hatred out of our lives, this anger. And we've spent two Sundays on that subject. And I hope this was helpful to you. I hope it was helpful. You cannot conquer anger until you realize that it's murderous hatred in motion. That's what anger is. It's extremely destructive. And until you treat it as serious as it is, you'll never, never, never conquer it. Never. You never will. Confess it as unmitigated murderous hatred. So we dealt with verses 27 and 28. I'm sorry, 26 and 27. So now we come to verse number 28, the one who steals. Let me give you a paraphrase for this thing, okay? Let him that stole, I'm sorry, let me give the paraphrase, and we're on page 20, look at the paraphrase there. The one who is stealing must stop stealing. Have you found it? We're on page 20. We're on the top of the page there. Going down from there, let him that stole steal no more. And we're at the paraphrase, okay? All right. I'm sorry, I got ahead of you there. We're on page 20. On page 20, top of the page, okay? And we're looking at the paraphrase of verse 28, which is given to you on the top of the page. The one who is stealing must stop stealing. Rather, he must work hard. The word labor here, there are different words in the Greek language for labor, for work. The work, ergos, is just the kind of work you do when you're normally, you're cleaning the house or you're working at work, you're doing something. This is the word kapiao, and this means you work hard, you're working 16 hours a day, and you're literally wearing yourself out, you're working so hard. Okay? So, you have the steel, the word work hard here. He must work hard. This has to do with hard work. This means you put in long hours. This means that you apply yourself in the labor that you're doing. Okay? You work hard. All right? Performing with his own hands that which is good, in order that he will have as a result something to share with someone who has the need. All right? And here it is a legitimate need. Now, there are some people that you can't help. And sometimes you can't help somebody by giving to them what they want. It is not what they want, it is what they need. Sometimes in our city, we would help a lot of people in the city a lot more by letting them, just allowing them to reap the fruit of their own lifestyle rather than propping them up and making it possible, enabling them to continue living foolish lives and destructive lives. So all needs are not legitimate needs. Everybody wants something from me, doesn't get it. I will help. I'll give somebody the shirt off my back, but I won't give a dime that I think is going to hurt somebody. Won't do that. It is not good. And you've seen parents bail their children out of jail time and time again and pay for all the sins of their children. And the children never do learn until they end up in jail for a long time, and then they start to think. Some people have to experience consequences for laziness, consequences for other things in life. So we've got to be careful what we do with this, but there are many people who have very legitimate needs. Many people. And the joy is having something to give to someone who has need. Notice the paragraph, and I've mentioned this already, under the paraphrase there. We have here an insight into the object of all Christian labor, not merely to acquire for ourselves. And by the way, you can't help somebody else if you don't acquire something for yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't help anybody else. Is that true? You don't pay your bills, you can't help anybody else, all right? So it's not selfish to take care of yourself, but it's selfish to live in order that you might have more and have more, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We have here an insight into the object of all Christian labor, not merely to acquire for ourselves and our own need, but also to be able to help meet the needs of others. So what does work do? Look this way for just a moment. What does work do? If I work hard, I get a, give me the P word, paycheck, all right? And the paycheck enables me to do things, is that right? It's the fruit of my labor, say. And so the question is, why do I want that paycheck? Well, number one, I have to have food on my own table. That's part of it, okay? I have to have clothes to wear within reason. I have to have a place to live and stay, yes? So there are my own needs, and I am to labor partly to meet those needs. But the object goes beyond my own need into the lives of other people. And I want to do as much as I can, to have as much as I can, to invest in the needs of other people. And may I say, there are spiritual needs, needs for the gospel, that are involved in this. It's not only food and clothing that people need. They need Christ. They need the gospel. And somebody needs to be sent to give them the gospel. So there are investments that I need to make that I cannot make if I do not work hard. Every Christian ought to make as much money as they can within reason, not neglecting their family responsibilities, their home responsibilities, and their church, because this is not the ultimate goal of life, not to get rich. What you do is you enlarge your capacity for life if you work hard. Work begets money. Money is the power to minister. Yeah? See? All right? So what we want to do, we have one life to live, and we want to make that life as productive as we possibly can. Yes? So we need to save money, invest money. We need to manage our money wisely, but not so that we can get more, but so that we can give more. And in the process, God takes care of our needs. It's amazing how he does it. Does this make sense to you? Now, I have forms of stealing that I've listed here. Shoplifting. Well, you all know what that is. And you all know, do you not, the figure has gone up to 30% now. 30% of the cost of retail goods covers theft. Stealing. 30%. Some of it goes out the front door, shoplifting. Some goes out the back door with employee theft. Some of it is done in the bookkeeping end of businesses. There's just all kinds of ways that people steal. So you have shoplifting. You have falsified cost overruns. Boy, that is in the business world all over the place. That is all over the... By the way, the business world is going to collapse of its own weight in another 10 to 20 years. You watch it, unless they add a myriad of laws and regulations. The dishonesty today in the American culture is frightening. Embezzlement. Embezzlement means you keep the books and you cook the books and you take money out of the organization. Padding expense accounts, where you get expense money from your employer that you did not spend in order that you might that you didn't legitimately spend on business. Reporting more hours than were worked. That's done a lot. And that's stealing, because you're taking money that you did not earn. Failing to report income to the IRS. The Bible teaches we are to pay our taxes. We are not to be, and by the way, may I say, take every deduction you can get. I wouldn't pay a dime more tax than I had to, because I want to put in God's work, not in the government. Take all the legitimate exemptions and what have you can, but you don't lie about your income. Grand larceny, that's going to the bank with a pistol. Petty theft, that's just stealing things out of the stock supply at work and taking them home. That's petty theft. Taking dad's money off the dresser, that's kind of practical. Not paying fair wages. When people work for you and you don't pay fair wages, you're stealing from those people. Huh? So you can't pay them everything they want, but you need to agree on a wage, and it needs to be commensurate with the work they do. Pocketing what a clerk overpays. You ever get more change back than you should? I was walking through a parking lot one day. We'll bring it to a close here. I was walking through a parking lot one day in Southern California, a large shopping mall. Guess what I saw lying on the ground? It was $100 bill. A $100 bill. Boy, did I have a dilemma, because it was not mine. I didn't earn it. I didn't own it. It was $100 that was not mine. What would you do? I could have walked off with it and said nothing and done nothing. My problem was that anybody would lie to get it. But I wanted the owner to get a chance to get it back. So I walked to the nearest department store, and I found a manager, I think it was a manager, and I said, I found something of significant value out in your parking lot. I will not tell you what it is. If anybody comes in here who has lost something of significant value, you have them call me, and if they can tell me what it is, I will give it to them. And I would have. And I didn't have to. But it was the honest thing to do. Had you lost that $100? Had you gone to that clerk and said, I lost $100 out in the parking lot? My name and phone number they had. You would have gotten your $100 back. Now, ordinarily, nobody would do that. What's the old saying? Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. But as the old fellow said, it ain't mine. Doesn't belong to me. So we need to be honest. Pocketing what a clerk overpays in change at the register, and if they keep good track of their employees, sometimes the employee has to pay that out of his pocket. So what you've done is taken money out of the pocket of the employee. Remember, the purpose for which God has given us our life is not for us to keep, but so that we might give it away. Now, the big problem with stealing is this. Why do people steal? All right? The issue in verse 28 is, are you a taker or are you a giver? Stealers are takers. But givers don't steal. See? Thieves are takers. I want. Why do people steal? There's one word, and it's interpreted two different ways. It's translated two different ways in King James and the New American Standard, the word covetousness and the word greed. Both of them come from the same Greek word. All right? Thou shalt not, give me the C word, covet. Now, what is greed? You know what greed is? Greed is simply the desire to have more than you have. More than God provides for you. You see, did I read in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. It is. We need to have eyes that see the hand of God in life more than we do. When I sit down at a restaurant, sometimes at the same restaurant, I get good food and sometimes I get lousy food. And I'm very prone when the food is not so good to do what? Give me the C word. Complain. That's after I had the audacity to thank God for giving me that food. And now I'm complaining about the food he gave me. It is amazing how many Christians are dissatisfied with the level of God's provision in their lives. They want more than what God provides for them, more than what God gives to them. And if they don't get all that they want, they think they should get more on their own. And that's called, generally, it ends up with stealing. And it's amazing. Let me read just a few verses here. Beware, be on your guard against every form of greed, wanting more. Every form of greed. Even when one has an abundance, his life does not consist of his possessions. That's what Jesus said. In Ephesians, immorality or any impurity or greed, wanting more, dissatisfaction with God's provision, must not even be named among you as proper among saints. How satisfied are you with God's provision in your life? I want better clothes. I want better. I want more. I want better. I want more. I want better. I want this. I don't have. I don't have. I don't have. I don't have. And of course, the American culture is designed to make you keenly aware of all the things you don't have so that you will go and buy them or steal them if you can't afford them. Americans have more than any nation on earth has ever had, and they are more unhappy and dissatisfied with what they have than any nation that's ever been. How are you as a Christian? Are you content? Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry, worshiping material things. Looking to material things to meet a need in your life that you feel God has not met. Woo! You know this with certainty, Paul says. No immoral, impure person or greedy man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So we need to take our lives and we need to manage these lives to the glory of God. We want to make maximum increase in our lives. That means we get educated. That increases our capacity. That means we work hard. That increases the fruitfulness of our lives. That gives us more to give. We do everything we do to expand and increase our lives in order that thereby we might pour more into the lives of other people, more into the work of the gospel, in order that we might in a greater way glorify God in our lives to the maximum extent. So that's the challenge of the Christian life. To do it not for selfish purposes, but for divine purposes. Got it? Got it? So, it really upsets me that so many Christians think that wealth is bad, and people that make money are bad, and it really upsets me. Because God wants every one of us to do the maximum. We don't all have that capacity. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. Just do the best you can and the most you can with what you have. Yeah? And if God opens doors, He opens doors. If He doesn't open them, be content. Do the best you can and the most you can with what God has for you. Yes or no? See? Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him work hard. Copious labor. Kopiao. Copious labor. Let him work hard with his hands. Good things. Involve yourself in good things. No dishonest things. In order that you might have to give to those who have genuine needs. So that your life will have overflow. Your life will have overflow into the lives of other people. Say, that's the goal of the whole thing. It's not what I can get. It's what I can give. Yeah? See, it's not what I can get. It's what I can give. And when I live that way, I make a maximum of what I have. I make the most. I make the most. And God is glorified. And I don't worship money. It's not a god. And by the way, if you worship money, you're in trouble because money is a cruel god. It can't bail you out of anything. It can't do anything to straighten your character out for you. Money's a cruel god, but it is a wonderful servant. A wonderful servant. And it will not serve you if you don't have any. Huh? Work hard, but work for the right reasons. Have a right relationship with what gives you with what God gives you. And be content with God's provision. Do not be unhappy with God's provision in your life. Don't be covetous. Don't be greedy. But work hard and do all you can to maximize your life for the glory of God. Amen? I hope that helps you. It's hard to think properly when we think of the material things in life. But Paul said God's given us all things richly to what? Enjoy. But in the same text, he says, don't you ever get attached. Don't get attached emotionally to things, to wealth. Don't get attached to it. Enjoy what God gives you and use it for His glory. Amen? So don't feel bad if you eat a nice steak now and then. Paul said, I know how to abase, to have nothing, and I know how to prosper and enjoy that. Paul said, I can enjoy it if God's provision is a little bit. I can enjoy it if God's provision is a lot. Amen? So Let's just keep in sync with God and let's be givers and not takers. Amen.